Welcome to the UDIA Queensland's Development DROM podcast, where we speak to members and ask them to share some property industry insights and at the same time get to know our industry colleagues a little better. My guest today is Tammy Burkhofer. Tammy is a partner at Minter Ellison's Lawyers and has been a legal advisor to the real estate sector for more than 18 years. While she has deep experience in all things real estate, she has a particular interest in seniors living and regulation and has built a successful national practice in that area, being recognised over the past 2 years by Doyle's as a leading health and aged care partner, recommended property and real estate partner and recommended leasing lawyer. Tammy advises some of Australia's largest retirement village operators, including Aveo and Retire Australia, on all the aspects of village life cycle, including acquisitions, disposals, redevelopment of strategic sites, and regulatory compliance. Her understanding of the day-to-day challenges of retirement village operations is deep, as she works closely with a large team of lawyers and paralegals who transact more than 4,000 retirement village conveyancing matters across the country per year. Tammy is the chair of the UDIA Queensland Seniors Living and Residential Care Committee and a member of the National Retirement Living's Council Advocacy and Research Subcommittee. She has a deep commitment to the future of the retirement living sector and generously shares her expertise by regularly presenting at industry events and training forums. She's also passionate about working with young professionals to navigate the challenges of corporate life. And in 2022, she was a finalist in the Lawyers Weekly Partner of the Year Awards for Mentor of the Year. Thanks for joining us on the Development DROM, Tammy. Tammy, tell us a little bit about your career journey.
Journey. I think of journey like when I pack my kids up and we've got a plan on where we're going to go and yes, we get there and yes. It's all very organized. I don't think it's a journey. I think of it as an adventure.
Okay. This is
so
cool.
Yeah. So I started out. I moved from the Fraser Coast to go to university.
Okay.
And I thought I'd get into something creative. So I started a marketing degree.
Did you really?
Marketing, yes. And as part of that degree, I did a law subject and just loved it. It was just one of those things that, you know, when you just, something sparks.
Yes.
And you think, yeah, this is really interesting. It's human centric. It's somewhat voyeuristic in the sense it's problem solving. It is pretty creative.
Yes.
You're applying what you know to deliver solutions. So from that point, I upgraded into law, never really intending to be a lawyer, actually.
Yes, okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Just a part-time hobby for you at that stage.
A hobby. I don't know what I set out to do, actually. I just loved it and loved the study of it. And I had a really good support network in my final year.
Okay.
Who encouraged me to put in an application. I was pretty selective
yes.
about where I applied to practice law. And I probably, in hindsight, quite wisely, surprisingly for that age, looked into a place that sort of matched my core values.
Yes.
So I came from a fairly humble background, wanted a firm where, and this sounds somewhat naive, but it was about the people
yes.
and the culture.
Yep.
And an element of supportiveness and kindness in yes. the practice of law, which was contrary to what my perception of
yes.
what legal practice would be like.
Yeah.
So I applied to that firm and luckily I had all my eggs in that basket. Luckily it worked out.
Fantastic.
And I practiced real estate law there for 15 years.
And why real estate law, Tammy? At what point during the law degree did you go, this is what I'm particularly interested in?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it wasn't actually during my degree.
Okay.
I started in the family law practice at that firm and loved it, that people side of it.
Yes.
And part of being a young lawyer is that you do need to rotate
yep.
through different practice groups and get some experience in other areas. So I actually think real estate was about fifth down my list.
Right.
And I landed in a real estate team and probably wasn't overly happy about it, but made the most of it.
Yes.
And worked with the most amazing partner that I've ever worked with. He was supportive. He encouraged you to invest in your knowledge
mm-hmm.
and gave you the leeway to do that. It wasn't all about billable hours.
Yes.
It was very much around if you find something in this real estate practice that you're interested in, then go for it.
Yep.
And I'm not going to hold you back. I'll encourage you. I'll support you. But also bringing the younger lawyers in as part of the family.
Yes.
So it was a really amazing place to start practicing law. The practice of real estate was that high energy,
yep.
get an outcome after, you know, doing family law
yes.
for so long where I think those clients might still be clients.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, coming in and doing a transaction and getting an outcome that everyone's working in the same direction towards achieving was really refreshing. And I just got a real, I guess, sense of achievement and accomplishment from that and loved it. So yeah, I think that was the appeal of real estate. And that's, I guess, supporting of me and what I wanted to do and finding my niche.
Yeah.
It's how I actually met you.
Yes.
I don't know if you remember all, I mean, yes. Not that long ago.
It was a long time ago.
But just that, I guess, encouragement to if you're, I think at that time it was around enviro development, yes, and sustainable development. So if you're interested in that, Tammy, then go for it.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
And you invited me to the table to sit around and actually be a part of that, which was really amazing and taught me that if you're investing in something that you're interested in, bears fruit.
Yeah.
Delivers long-term relationships and long-term benefits. So
yeah,
that was, I was really lucky, I think, as a young lawyer to have that environment.
Mm. So talk us through, so ended up in real estate law, 15 years, and then you have gravitated towards having a specialty, particularly in seniors and the seniors living sector. Mm. How did you get there, Tammy?
How did I get there? I tried all sorts of things. Like sustainable development was where I thought I'd be. And, you know, I looked into carbon abatement interests,
yes,
and wind farms, renewable energy, but I was really lucky to act on a retirement village acquisition for an operator who had been in the sector for quite a while,
right,
but had decided to, I guess, move into more of a niche boutique style of retirement village development and operation.
Yep.
And again, lucky, that client really brought me in and took me on the journey of what a good retirement village looks like.
Yes, okay.
And this is so unique for a private practice lawyer to be that immersed in a client's business, where I was going out to the village and actually meeting the residents whose amazing names were on the contracts that, yeah, I was settling. And I guess understanding, and that client, it was a mutually beneficial relationship in that they really taught me what the retirement village model looks like.
Yes.
And I guess the appeal from that point was, okay, this is not just transactional. We're not just moving together and settling the acquisition of a village or a site acquisition or a development agreement or whatever that might look like. This is a full life cycle relationship.
Yeah.
So I can settle the transaction and then I can work towards the operational side. But the appeal of it was, I guess, it's so complex, Kirsty.
It is. And increasingly, Tammy.
It's so complex. And for a law nerd like me, I want to understand all of the ins and outs of it. I want to understand the model, the budgets, the resident relationships, the contracts. And
yeah,
so that's where I kind of fell in love with retirement village law, but then looked at how I could make a career out of it.
Yes.
And here I am today.
Yeah. And do you think it's the human element that you've been particularly drawn to?
I think so. I think it's the human element. It's with the business management degree,
yep,
and the operational side. It's understanding the business model.
Yes.
It's delivering a product that people actually want and need, which I find really interesting. And I don't deal directly with residents day in, day out, but I do manage a very large team who deal directly with residents.
Yes.
And it's pulling in that empathy,
yep,
and that understanding and that service delivery. So it's definitely the human element, but it's also the business side of it,
yeah,
and the government liaison. So understanding,
yes,
what the future of this sector looks like,
yeah,
and what little part I can do to make it a really bright future. Because, you know, let's be honest, you and I are going to be living in potentially one of these communities one day.
Say that true, Tammy. Not yet. Not yet.
In a very long time.
In a very long time.
We'll be living in one of these communities.
My netball knees and ankles might see me there sooner,
yeah,
than expected. With an aging population, it is a topic that is on at the forefront of our minds almost day to day at the moment. Mm. What more do you think we need to be doing to make sure that people can access a suitable home,
yeah,
in their preferred location at the time that they need?
Yeah, there's so much we can do. And I obviously, you have plenty of professionals that you can speak to about planning pipelines,
yep,
and land release. And we are in a critical juncture,
yes,
as a society where we need to be looking at where our parents,
mm,
and where we and our children are going to be living when they age.
Yeah.
And the resounding outcome from all of the research is that people want to age in their communities, they want to age with their friends and family nearby, and they want options. They want financial,
yes,
certainty.
Yeah.
They want the ability to decide whether they live in something freestanding,
yeah,
or whether they're quite comfortable with a high rise. But at the end of the day, it's the services,
yes,
that they need. And we need to be developing communities where people can age in place, where they can receive the services, where those services can be affordable.
Yeah.
So there are economies of scale in delivering aged care services to people in a central location.
Yeah.
And I think what, from my perspective, the hat I wear is very much around regulation certainty.
Yes.
Yeah. So my practice is national. And we've seen every single state in Australia significantly reform their retirement villages legislation in the last 5 years. Yeah. And it's not only retirement villages, it's land lease communities as well. And I come from a perspective of we need to protect.
Absolutely.
We need consumer protection.
Yep.
We need disclosure. I always put myself in the shoes of our clients' residents. I want to be able to make an informed decision. So I think everybody needs to be able to have the information they need to make an informed decision about where they live.
Yeah.
And that's where regulation is really beneficial. Where I think we as a sector need to be moving towards and engaging with government on is certainty in the regulatory environment.
Yeah.
So how do you make investment decisions knowing that the state of the retirement villages legislation, this is the state of the land lease communities legislation, without potentially impacting that model in a couple of years' time when government makes a significant change and locks in a particular financial outcome that isn't feasible any longer. So we're very blessed in Queensland in the level of collaboration and liaison that we have with the state government.
Yeah.
Particularly in recent times, there is a lot of consultation ahead of change.
Yes.
But what we need is that balance.
Yeah.
We need the ability to take older communities where the built form's no longer fit for purpose. So retirement villages were built in the 70s.
Yes.
Essentially. And there's a lot of old stock out there. But we currently sit in a legislative regime where developing those communities is very restrictive.
Yes.
And that's a product of some not great outcomes in the past, but we've learnt from that.
Yep.
And we need to move towards a stage where we can actually develop this older stock to increase housing supply and options for older Australians. So
it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because it's often an emotional discussion where something hasn't gone quite right in a particular community, but the balancing act of making sure that pendulum does not swing. And I think the thing that we are starting to understand more and more from EDIA perspective is just how complex the regulation or the regulatory environment is combined with the taxation system for this sector.
Yeah, that's right. And there's so many factors that come into play in the decision-making, including that taxation, the pension, release of equity to buy into a community where people want to live and then have enough to pay for their care services as they age in place. And truth be known, we are heading towards a user pay system in aged care. There was the final report released yesterday around people being assessed on their means and then paying accordingly. And that's a factor in the whole conversation about the taxation, the finances, the options available, release of land, the ability to develop. It's a really complex conversation.
It is.
But it's one we need to have.
It's really important.
Mm-hmm. We're aging. The fact of the matter is that we're not having enough babies to be able to pay for aged care, and we're living longer.
Yes.
And so we need to be able to think from a socioeconomic perspective, where do people live?
Yeah. And where do they want to live? And what can they afford?
Yeah, that's right.
Now, thinking about your career today, which you earlier described as an adventure, what are some of the more difficult decisions you've had to grapple with on that adventure?
Wow, that's a really interesting question. I think, obviously, making a change. So I was at a firm where I was very happy and I could have sat comfortably for quite some time there. But I think sidestepping in that situation, that was a really hard decision. Yeah. And it was actually, from a title perspective, a backward step. So I moved from a partner to a special counsel in a different firm, but a firm where I could see the longer term future. It was the largest Australian retirement village law firm. And that was really hard and anxiety inducing, and it was a huge decision, but I did it because there was a longer term picture.
Yes.
And I haven't looked back really. Like, I love the people I worked with, but I've met so many people and had so many opportunities just by taking that leap of faith and backing myself and making that change. So that was hard.
What are some of the things that you went through in terms of process to make that decision? It would have been a pros and cons list, I'm sure, happening in the background. Give us some insight into what that process was like. Or was it a flip of the coin, Tammy?
No, definitely not. It was slow spin of the coin. If I flip the coin. Maybe not so much a pros and cons list, but a lot of discussions with my family and my husband. So there was the personal impact. Obviously, changing and moving into a national practice at a national firm requires a lot of investment of time and energy. And I have and had even back then, quite a young family. So there was that. But there was also, okay, let's look at this strategically. Where am I headed here? Where do I want to be?
Yes.
Why am I making the decision? It certainly wasn't for, you know, money or or prestige or anything along those lines. It was, I really want to learn this area.
Yes.
And I really need to be in this particular place to learn this area. And at the end of the day, that was the driving force.
That was the best pathway for you at that point.
Yeah. But it was definitely a hard decision and definitely one that I needed that buy-in from my family before I made. So.
And they were obviously on board, Tammy.
Yes.
And they, still on board by the sounds of it.
Yes. I actually started at the new firm part-time.
Did you?
And became a partner part-time.
There you go. So, fantastic.
Yeah. I suspect that was quite rare back then.
Yes.
Probably less so these days. But that was a critical part of the decision was how do I keep that balance?
The balls in the air.
Being part-time was part of the conversation.
What piece of advice would you give your younger professional self? I mean, you are young still, Tammy, as we've already talked about. But if you were to reflect and say, hey, Tammy, back at those, you know, probably finishing uni days, what would you tell yourself?
So every day, I'm a massive believer in comparison is the thief of joy. And I think that is more profound these days with social media.
Yes.
So, you know, it's very easy and I mentor a lot of younger professionals and I manage a very large team. And quite often when someone's feeling not great, not on top of their game, it's because they're looking at somebody else. And wondering not why they're not at that point.
Yeah.
I think it's critical and I don't give advice, but the conversations we have is, well, where do you want to be? Mm. What's your plan and what can you do to get there instead of looking what others have done? That's sort of how I run my practice, how I function day to day. I have my own plan. I have my own strategy. It doesn't always work out.
Yep.
Sometimes it goes very pear-shaped. But you sit back and you consider what you could have done better or differently and you move on and continue trying to take those steps forward. So that's probably the hardest part for younger people coming through these days is looking at social media and the front that a lot of people put on social media and thinking they're not good enough.
You only see the good stuff on social media, don't
Absolutely.
You?
Absolutely. It's a mask. Yeah. You know, behind the scenes, there's a lot of struggles that happen, a lot of investment of time and hard work. So,
Now, thinking ahead for the rest of the year, what's your focus? Professional, personal, whatever, Tammy? Lead us through.
My focus, and I'm being very honest here, is I feel like I've sat in my office for the past 3 years.
Yes.
Like, if I never join another Teams call, I'd be quite happy. It's certainly got its place and it is very efficient, but this year is about people. I'm going to embarrass you here. I do listen to the development drum and there was something that resonated with me. You mentioned a little while ago in one of the episodes that you sat at the table and listened. And that's how you learn a lot of what you know today. And I think we don't have a table anymore. Mm. The table is gone. The table is a Teams meeting where, let's face it, you're not able to really communicate like you can in person. Yeah. So I want to bring back the table. I want to bring people back to the table in office. And we at Minters very much support flexible work arrangements. But part of the core element is the people. That's how you develop culture.
Yes.
That's how you develop knowledge. So it's very much around having that table and letting my young and up-and-coming superstars sit at the table with me so I can impart that knowledge to them. And, you know, one day they'll be making decisions about where I live.
Yes.
And I want them to
make
good decisions.
Good, make good decisions. Get in there really early, Tammy, and start to influence that.
That's right. So that's this year's goal. Same with my clients, sitting down with my clients and actually talking to them and understanding the things that are impacting their business, what are their challenges and how can we work with them to achieve outcomes. So,
do you get on site much, Tammy? Do you get that opportunity to, if you've been working with a client at the start of the process, to then go and visit the village when it's completed?
Yes, yeah, I have very generous clients. I have clients who are doing some amazing developments, things that would blow your mind when you go out on site and see what's coming out of the ground. It's quite incredible. Not as much as I'd like to, though. I think, and this is more part of my role as a people manager, your people perform best when they've got an investment in the outcome. And what I'd love is to be able to get in a car with some of my team members and go out to site and let them see where their hard work is going.
Yes.
And that's the beauty of the property industry, right? It's tangible.
It is so tangible.
Yeah. And by going out and seeing it and feeling it and talking to the people who are on the site, you get that investment and that return. And that is an ideal outcome in my view. So that's ideally where we'd like to be this year.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, Tammy, you mentioned earlier that you hope that you play a small part in that government liaison and influencing change. Can I say on behalf of UDIA that you play a major role in guiding us around the park in what is a very complex environment as chair of our Seniors Living Committee, and you have done for a very long time.
Thank you,
Jess. So the industry is very lucky to have you and your big brain applying all of your focus to this on a really important topic. So not only thank you for joining us on the Development Drum, but thank you for all that you do behind the scenes.
Thank you. It's an absolute pleasure, and I'm very lucky to have the relationships I have through the UDIA. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Tammy. Thank you for listening to the UDIA Queensland's Development Drum podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure having you with us. Remember to rate and review this show on your favourite podcast app. While you're there, please make sure you click subscribe so you don't miss an episode.